Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. Join their team today. We will be joined by Dan Miller, play-by-play voice of the Detroit Lions. He'll be on the call for Commanders Lions this weekend. 8:25 is when he'll be on with us, so keep listening to hear from Dan. I wanted to get into, do you think hiring Coach Prime is a good or bad decision for the Dallas Cowboys? Mike McCarthy is out. He's out on the circuit. Probably will get snapped up in this coaching carousel. If not this one, most likely the next offseason. But is Coach Prime a good fit for the Dallas Cowboys? Would you hire him? Or do you think it's a bad decision? Do you think it's too out of the box? Wouldn't work, him jumping from college to the pros? 800-636-1067, the MGM National Harbor listener lines.
I think he has as good a chance as anybody to be successful. If you look at just a couple of years ago, I'm looking at some of the hires. I don't want, you know, D'Amico Ryans was hired by the Houston Texans. So far, so good, right?
He's won two playoff games.
Mm-hmm. Frank Reich was hired by Carolina. He didn't even last a season.
Awful.
The Broncos hired Sean Payton. That seems to be a good hire. Colts hired Shane Steichen. You don't know. I mean, a lot of it's quarterback dependent, right? They also have drafted Anthony Richardson or trying to go with him. Cardinals hired Jonathan Gannon.
Mm-hmm.
Meh.
And again, it's almost exclusively tied to how good your quarterback is. Like, if Coach Prime comes in, takes over the Dallas job, if Dak gets back to being a guy who throws for 35 touchdowns and plays in 15 games and leads a high-scoring offense, he's going to have a chance. But if Dak can't come back from his injury and they don't upgrade the talent around him, he's going to struggle.
I think Coach Prime deserves a chance. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. So I went back a year before that. In 2022, here are the nine guys who were hired. And why wouldn't you hire Coach Prime in retrospect over guys like Dennis Allen, been a dud everywhere. Like, I get it. Cakes is like he has no NFL coaching experience. I understand that. But a lot of these guys have a lot of NFL coaching experience, and then they're duds. Well, Dennis Allen, Brian Daboll. All right. He's surviving. He had one good season. Matt Eberflus.
Sad.
Nathaniel Hackett. I mean, think about the hires that year.
Yeah.
All right. And Mike McDaniel's been okay in Miami. Josh McDaniels was hired that year. By the Raiders. Kevin O'Connell, he's been good. And Doug Peterson. I mean, think about that. That's just a couple years ago, 2022 NFL season, they hire nine coaches, and Kevin O'Connell's been a success. And I guess you could say Mike McDaniel's been a success.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them?
And those guys?
Losers, and most of them fired.
Most of those guys were coordinators.
Yeah, so.
And they'd been in the league a while.
To me, you know, years and years ago when Mike Tomlin was hired, that was an out-of-the-box thing because he wasn't expected. I think the names at that time, it was like Russ Grimm. Mm-hmm. People thought he was going to be hired. I can't remember who else was the favorite. And they kind of hired Mike Tomlin out of nowhere. And Tomlin's had this successful run. Now, I know he's lost six straight playoff games. But if you watch him on the sideline, he's a delegator, right? He's got an offense coordinator, he's got a defensive coordinator, and then he runs the show. He sets the standard, as he likes to say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why Coach Prime couldn't do that. You can say he doesn't have the NFL coaching experience, but it appears to me that he's a good leader. He had success at Jackson State. He's had success at Colorado. And he could hire quarterback guru, offensive coordinator.
For sure. I agree with pretty much everything you said. And I would throw no previous pro coaching experience out the window because they've hired a million coaches that haven't had that. So that's not a valid excuse on the whole.
Other than it seems like most of those guys, most recently Matt Rhule, end up stinking in the pros for whatever
reason. Well, listen, I would bet against him, but that's more because I just think the way he handles himself, I just don't know if that's going to work at the college level. Some guys are just college coaches and they're great at the pro level. Some guys are just college coaches and you know their shtick's not going to fly at the next level. Well, I think Urban Meyer's a great example.
Maybe
of that.
He changes,
but Dan Campbell's worked.
There was questions on whether or not he was going to be a successful college coach.
100%.
And what he did when Colorado goes to the Big 12 was unbelievable, to go from 4 wins to 9 wins and almost made the conference championship. Now, he had a really good quarterback, his son, and he had the best player in college football, Travis Hunter. But he also improved that roster. So I think he knows football. Just because he hasn't coached in the NFL doesn't mean he doesn't know football. He knows football and he can lead. I think it comes down to the quarterback play, the upper management putting talent on the field, what he can work with. I think he could be successful.
See, the part I'd be worried about if I were Prime is, do I have the infrastructure around me to be successful?
Well, that's also like, critical.
I've got Jerry Jones running the franchise and running. Basically, he's the GM and he's picking the players.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's a great situation if I'm Deion Sanders. Well, I might say, Jerry, thanks for the interest, but I'm going to wait for a better situation.
Well, Mike McCarthy
I agree with Troy Aikman.
McCarthy was winning double digit games. He just wasn't doing anything in the playoffs.
Right. I don't know if it's as coveted a spot as it used to be.
Might not be.
I'm kind of Team Aikman here.
But I would
from
think
his comments.
I would think all these teams, not just Dallas, would be interested in Deion Sanders. Like if I'm the Chicago Bears and they've interviewed 100 guys, including Ron Rivera, why wouldn't you interview Deion Sanders? Now Deion has said he wants to stay in Boulder. He's saying those sort of things.
Mm-hmm. He's just saying,
my point about the coaching experience. He's not dumb. To be as successful as he has been at Jackson State,
well, no one's
the turnaround,
accused him of dumb.
And then he's not dumb. He has Pat Shurmur as his offensive coordinator, a guy who's super experienced.
Right. No one's accused him of being dumb. He's obviously a smart guy. And I'll give him this. Maybe I'm wrong because I don't really care about Colorado. And but I have seen the kids in it. His personal kids seem like pretty grounded kids considering the life they've had. Right? The father they've had. They seem like pretty good kids.
Yeah. I think the quarterback might drive around in a Bentley, but he's also making a ton of money.
No, but when
his
I see
NIL
him being
deal.
Interviewed and stuff, yeah. We can have a Bentley. It's fine.
There's a bunch of them.
It proves my point. He's a pretty grounded kid for having the life that he's had. I don't know.
I'm done doubting the guy. I wasn't a big fan of it when it first started, but he's not a college coach. That's what his specialty was. This is a guy who trusts his players. He lets his guys be who they are. This isn't Urban Meyer who micromanages everything and is a complete hard ass. Deion, they practice hard. They go there. They're loose. They're confident. They have swag. It may not be what a 35-year-old defense alignment likes all the time, but they're going to be ready to play, and he's going to trust his guys, and he's going to believe in them. That goes a long ways. I've doubted the guy. He charms me.
He got criticized for the way he handled going from Jackson State to Colorado, and he went in and said, "Look, you guys won one game. All right, you're a 1-win team. We're changing the roster." Mm-hmm. All right, so your guys.
I didn't love the way he did that.
I know, and that's why he gets criticized.
The way he did
it wasn't diplomatic,
correct.
But look, I agree. Like, he had to upgrade the roster.
He had to.
He knew that.
But
that's
why. Of course, you have to upgrade the roster.
And he's got this personality, right? He's Prime. But that's not the way that social media really liked him to do that. But he needed to do that, and it worked.
But I still think you could have done it in a way, maybe it's not as immediate.
That's just his personality. That's not going
to
change.
I know it's his personality, but I mean, guys that work their whole lives to get those scholarships and they just pull them. I mean, that's just, I actually just think it's wrong.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I mean,
but that's
for
why
him, it was fine.
That's why Colorado paid him, you know, $8 million a year.
Yeah.
But Mike McCarthy won 12 games, 3 consecutive years, and went 1-3 in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about the infrastructure. They had the infrastructure to win 12 games and to win the division twice. You just got to do it in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Deion could do it.
I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work. I think Deion's a good coach, and he knows his X's and O's, and he's a great motivator. But I just don't know how the ancillary stuff is going to work, because most NFL coaches are kind of hush-hush, right? They really don't give you much. They're not that outspoken. And with Deion, it's just he's – feels like he'll say whatever's on his mind. He'll say, you know what, if the offensive line sucks, he'll tell you how much they suck. And if I'm a GM, I don't really know if I want my head coach tossing out blame amongst the team or even the front office.
Yeah, it's more of, honestly, Drab, it's more of that stuff, his the PR approach that he has that I think is going to rub these guys maybe the wrong
way. Like it can work in the college level, but I don't know how it would work in the NFL level.
Like you think
That's where he was molded in the NFL level. That's what he knows. He was in the NFL for 20 years.
No, I know he knows.
He knows
the
how
NFL.
To talk to these guys. He knows how to be a leader in the NFL. He's the greatest cornerback of all time.
I also have said I would probably be in the minority betting against him because the guy's been successful. Everything he's done.
I just think that there's no set personality that works in the NFL. It's wide range. And it ultimately, we all know this, it comes down to wins and losses. So why not him? I'm going through almost every year. Do you know how many losers get hired?
Yeah.
In every cycle.
A lot of retreads
out there. They're just losers. Mm-hmm. I just went through 2022 where 9 guys get hired. And maybe there were 2 guys who were good out of those 9. And the vast majority of them
fired. Come down.
I just went to the year before. Guys like Arthur Smith got hired. And it's like, to me, why not Deion Sanders? Like, do you want to be in the box and play it safe with guys like Brandon Staley?
Oh, you can't hire. He's unhirable.
But those were like the hot coordinators
at
the
time.
It
does come down. But it comes down to what you have on the field. And the staff that you hire.
Yes.
And he could hire a good staff. Whether or not he has the infrastructure,
sure
I don't
staff.
Know. But that infrastructure worked for 3 out of 4 years for Mike McCarthy. So I think that maybe he can make them better.
And this is a critical hire for Jerry.
Maybe look, he can.
He's 82 years old. Like, this might be the last head coach he hires.
Could be.
Right? I mean,
he's got to be happy to wake up every day.
Is he going to live to 100?
That could be.
He could. Maybe
when you hit 82, you're just happy to see tomorrow.
I mean, this is probably his last head coach hire, so he better get it right.
And there's no guarantee that it'll work, but I would give him a shot. I thought Steve Spurrier was going to be a hit here, though. Okay, I'll admit that. Whatever the opposite of the back patting machine is, I thought Spurrier was going to be a home
guy
run.
That was eccentric, that had his own way of doing things. Mm-hmm. You know, played pro football.
But I also think he didn't really get to run the show, like... By the end,
his point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. By the end, he even punted being the offensive coordinator for like 3 games.
Well,
remember that?
Did we hear stories that like even if it wasn't raining, he would just call off practice so he could go play golf?
Let me ask you this:
He just wasn't ready.
I don't know. I think I know the answer, and the answer is probably his teammates loved him. But like, what's Deion's track record as a teammate? Because he was who he is as a player.
When
he wasn't a me guy.
It seems like the guys that I see on TV.
These guys
that's all I see, like Michael Irvin.
Yeah. But that's like
Emmitt
star
Smith back
culture.
They, yeah, well,
that's star
they all
culture.
Liked him.
Right.
Yeah,
but what is it like when you're on a team with a bunch of offensive linemen and defensive linemen that don't get the glory, you know, but they're hardworking, the heart and soul of the team?
I think his teammates probably loved him because he made plays.
My point is this.
He just made plays.
I'd rather hire.
And he helped you win.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather hire Coach Prime, who has a record of success, albeit in college, over these guys, and I'm just lumping them in.
You know,
Brandon Staley's of the world. Yes, the Kellen Moore's of the world. Some of them hit. I mean, we'll see what happens with Ben Johnson if he gets a head coaching job. And largely, it comes down to personnel and if you've got the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But why not? Like, I don't think he's undeserving. Some people seem to believe that he's undeserving of a shot. Well, why is he more undeserving than, you know, name your coordinator who's going to get hired?
Well,
last year, maybe he'll end up being good.
People just look at the coordinators as grinding away for a few years, you know, kind of working their way up the ladder, position coach, coordinator, and then having an opportunity to be head coach. And Prime has been a head coach for, 5 years?
Sure. I think maybe did some high school stuff before the college.
So that's probably why they mean that. But I agree with you. I think it comes down to who's helping you put players on the field and putting a staff together that can coach them up.
All right, we can get to some of your calls when we do the Blitz. After, we're joined by Dan Miller, the play-by-play voice of the Detroit Lions. He'll be on the call for Lions Commanders divisional round of the playoffs Saturday night. He's going to join us at 8:25 here on The Fan. Time to head out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say hello to A longtime friend. He's been in Detroit for a long time. Dan Miller, play-by-play voice on radio for the Detroit Lions. Used to listen to him here on Team 980. What's up, Dan? Good morning.
How you guys doing today? Good to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Man. What an incredible run you guys are in the middle of. And, you know, you know this market. You know Washington. It's been a long time. And finally, we've had a run.
Yeah, no, it's been fun to watch what's happened back there. Obviously, I still have friends and family back there. They're big fans and enjoying this. And I know that, you know, fans in D.C. went through some gut punches for a long time, dealing with ownership, dealing with, you know, things that happened on the field that weren't going the way that they were hoping for. And it's, you know, there's a lot of what happened here in Detroit, too, where, you know, we finally got things turned around. And I'll say this, and I'm sure it's probably the case there. The best thing for me in seeing what's happened to Detroit is seeing these fans finally get payoffs, seeing these fans finally be able to enjoy something and sink their teeth into something they can believe in. And I'm sure it's the same there. It's just wonderful to see the electricity come back. I know what that fan base you guys are dealing with is like, and to see them come back to life, like I've seen the Lions fans come back to life, that's really the best part of it, because at the end of the day, that's what this is for. It's for people to enjoy and get behind and take pride in.
Yeah, Dan, you've been calling the Lions games since 2005, and it hasn't always been a bed of roses. I mean, you've seen a lot of bad football there, including the 2008 season where the Lions went winless. But, I mean, what Dan Campbell has done, is it Brad Holmes, the GM? He's done a remarkable job.
Yep.
Like, what they've done, the ownership, along with the GM and the coaches, kind of like what we're seeing here with a new ownership, with Josh Harris coming in, new blood with Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. There are definitely some similarities between the two franchises.
No, and I'm glad you mentioned ownership, because that's such a big part of it in what happened here and how this thing has turned around. Because Sheila Hamp, when she took over from her mother and took control of the team, she got rid of Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia and sent that regime out and knew they needed to make a change. But before she did any of that, she did a deep dive into the organization to find out what was going on. And she found out that it was not a good place to work, that the organization had become fractured, that a lot of people had been left to feel undervalued, like they were not part of what was going on. That previous regime had said, look, you're either part of football or you're not walking down this hallway, you're not talking to our players, you're not part of what's happening here. And it was not a good place to be. So before she even hired anybody, she designed a culture she wanted to have there where it was going to be collaborative and everybody was going to feel valued. And that's when she brought Chris Spielman in, and he was a big part of that. And then anybody that they hired, from Dan Campbell to Brad Holmes, had to believe in that as well. And not just believe in it, they had to live it. So, I mean, guys, you know, we use culture a lot, and a lot of times we probably don't use it right. But I can tell you here, that's been a big part of what's happened, is just getting everybody within the organization back on the same page, willing to work with each other, feeling good about working with each other. And that was long before they, you know, traded Matthew Stafford, drafted a player, did anything to get back to where they are now on the field. It was about changing things in the building. And that was an important step. And I would imagine, being through what you went through in Washington with that previous ownership, that was a big part of your success, too. And it's got to be. If you don't have that, it's going to be tough to sustain anything.
No, I agree with you totally, Dan. And I'm big on culture. I think it's massive. And people do make fun of that word. They mock it. And maybe people overuse it and don't really have it. But you guys clearly have it. And you have the talent. We have probably more culture than we do have talent, because we do have some talent. But I mean, culture is really huge here. My question is, when Dan Campbell was first hired, he was kind of mocked, right? We got a guy here, Cakes, that was laughing at him, and we all were.
I wanted Ben Johnson. I'll be honest. Ben Johnson was my guy. Dan.
No, I'm saying Dan Campbell when he was hired.
Oh, Dan Campbell. That's
when
true.
When Dan Campbell was hired, everyone was kind of goofing on him with all the weird stuff that was coming out of his mouth or whatever. What was your impression of him, and when did you know, wow, we really got the right guy?
You know, and I'm glad you asked the question that way instead of the way that I've been asked the question. And believe me, I get it. I'm not mad at anybody for it. But, I mean, I've done so many of these since Dan Campbell was introduced in 2021. and they just want to laugh about biting kneecaps. Mm-hmm. And you kind of asked it a different way, which was what was my impression. And look, I get why people made fun of that, mm-hmm. because it was
weird.
Almost a 90-minute press conference,
yeah.
and that was about 25 seconds of it.
Right.
But that's the only 25 seconds that anybody outside of Detroit heard.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought, this guy's a nut.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will tell you unequivocally, when that press conference ended, I was on a text thread with a bunch of writers, and
right.
you know, we've been through a lot of press conferences here between the Red Wings, the Pistons, the Tigers, and the Lions. And we've had some tough times here and met a lot of coaches. To a man, most everybody on that thread was like, that's the best press conference we've seen. That
right.
that dude won the day. Now, look, it's not hard to win the day,
mm-hmm.
but it was just something special that he had where he spoke not only to everybody in that organization, but to fans to say, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. It's not going to be easy. And he just used terms that you could relate to. And he wasn't talking down to anybody. So it was a really powerful moment. Now, what you do after that is what counts, because that quickly it fades. But it was disappointing that it has taken so long for people to kind of get past that, because it was such a small part of what he brought to this organization. And he has been the perfect guy for this organization. He was here as a player. He understands the city. He understands his fan base. He understands how long they've suffered and what it was going to take to change that. So, you know, look, this is a highly intelligent guy who has no problem making fun of himself. He's amazingly consistent. There's a terrific amount of charisma to him when you get a chance to talk to him. And he's been, like I said, exactly what we needed here. So I get why there was that perception out there. I mean, look, you can go back on YouTube and find people just making fun of the guy, mm-hmm. ripping the guy, mm-hmm. calling him an idiot, stupid. How in the world did they make that hire? Well, I think from what we've seen, you know, it's been the right hire. And the one thing I'll say, too, is unlike you guys, we had a ramp up. We had a 3-13-1 and then a 1-6 start to the season after that, mm-hmm. where there were still some doubts.
Yeah.
But then when they closed out 2022 by winning 8 out of 10, just missed the playoffs in the final week of the regular season, people started to believe and it got turned around. What has happened in Washington, the quick turnaround, that's been just incredible. I mean, it's been fun to watch, but it's really incredible.
Yeah, 4 wins to 13 wins, Dan. I mean, that's it's unheard of.
And look, you got a heck of a quarterback that's right in the middle of that, and that makes a big difference. But you know, your coach also has to do a lot of work in his staff to get that thing done.
So Detroit's the biggest favorite of the divisional round, even bigger than Kansas City, who finished 15-2, but really had one loss because Mahomes sat out. But so they're the biggest favorite at Ford Field. We kind of have been breaking down how we think Washington can stay in this game, and in my opinion, it's a lot like what Washington did against Tampa, holding the ball for 36, 37 minutes, because if they're going to have the ball 27, 28 minutes, I just don't see it, because Detroit's just going to be...
Or even 30-30 might not work out.
Yeah, too explosive. So how do you see... what would you think the Detroit game plan would be to stop Washington and Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it the other side first. The equalizer for Detroit and really what's kept them moving in the right direction despite massive losses to their defense, which if you had told me at the beginning of the year, there's no way I would have told you that could win 15 games with the guys that they've lost, is that offense. That offense is really tough to stop. And then they get on runs in games where they score on 3 or 4 straight possessions or 4 out of 5, and the other team has 1 or 2 empty possessions, and all of a sudden you're down 2 or 3 scores. That's really been the MO for them. Now look, defense, holding Minnesota without a touchdown in that final regular season game, I don't think anybody really saw that coming. This defense has been challenged. It's been good, but towards the end of the season, they were giving up a lot of points too. To me, look, they just got to find some way to get him off the field a couple of times in this game. And this feels like the kind of game where two offenses that can score, if you have a couple of empty possessions, that might be a problem. I think turnovers are where Washington could make a move in this game, because where the Lions have struggled is where they've come out, and this is not that different than any team around the league, and made a couple of mistakes, had some empty possessions, given the other team short fields or allowed their defense to score. So So that's a huge key in this game. If the Lions don't hurt themselves and have their normal offensive game, I think it becomes a tough contest for Washington. But this is 60 minutes of football. You know, if you come out and turn the ball over a couple times, give him short fields, give him the ability to get them on the scoreboard quickly, I think that's where this becomes a problem for Detroit. Do I think Detroit's a better team? Yeah, but that doesn't always matter in games like this. You have to do what they've done to get to 15 wins. Play clean football, be productive on offense, utilize this team that you've built, which was the highest scoring team in the league. And if they do that, I think that goes towards Detroit's game plan. Where I think this thing gets off the rails a little bit is if they start playing sloppy and Washington comes up with a couple of takeaways and all of a sudden you see some momentum flips.
Dan, I'm curious. Ben Johnson's name is mentioned for every coaching vacancy, it seems. And I think he's scheduled interviews and maybe done some interviews. Do you know how he's balanced his time preparing for the playoff game? Has he had to do a lot of interviews?
Yeah, I mean, he and Aaron Glenn both have had a significant number of interviews in this cycle. And I think it was mainly Thursday, Friday, maybe Saturday last week where they had the bye week. They had some downtime after practice on Thursday. And those guys fit all those first-round interviews into that time. So Dan Campbell wanted to let everybody get away basically for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, before they came back and hit the ground running. And I think they utilized that time to do their interviews. Where things go from here, I don't know, because they're going to be shut down from doing that for a little bit now, and some of the others are going to get their chances, and how that impacts them in the cycle remains to be seen. McCarthy's out there now. He's being mentioned for the Bears where both these guys interviewed. He's being mentioned for the Saints where Aaron Glenn was thought to be one of the leading candidates. So I don't know how it's going to shake out now, but I think the bye week gave them time to kind of put down what they're doing in Detroit for a minute and concentrate on these opportunities, and I think that's what they did.
Dan, can you give us an idea of, obviously a lot of the talk nationally was the fact that all these guys are on IR on the defensive side, and they also suffered some injuries in that Viking game. I know Terry and Arnold got hurt. Dan Campbell was asked about that. He says he expects a couple of those guys to come back. And then offensively, Gibbs is unbelievable, but it's a good change of pace to have Montgomery in there. Those two combined for, 19 rushing touchdowns, something like that. So can you give us an idea of some of these guys coming back and how the bye week helped the injured guys?
Yeah, Montgomery should be good to go, barring anything in practice over the next 2 days that goes wrong. Anything, coaches always want to see a guy go through. They're going to have a walkthrough today. Tomorrow will be a harder practice where there'll be some hitting, and they want to see how he does there. And then how does he feel on Friday coming off of that and Thursday coming off of that with, any action that he gets. But I think the plan right now is that Montgomery's going to play barring a setback. The guys to watch that Campbell said he's not sure of right now. Initially, he said for Terrion Arnold and Zeitler that they were given, basically got better news on those injuries coming out of the Minnesota game that they anticipated and they had a chance to play this week. Yesterday, he basically said, look, don't know. Not that he felt bad about it, but again, needed to see how they were going to play in practice. They did get Alex Anzalone back for the Minnesota game. That was huge. They got Khalif Raymond back for that game. That was huge. So I think in terms of guys that may or may be out or getting back, that's about it. Aiden Hutchinson's not coming back anytime soon. Lee McNeil's not coming back anytime soon. Carlton Davis isn't coming back anytime soon. Derek Barnes isn't coming back anytime soon. So, some of the big guns that they've lost, they're not going to be available. I mean, they've said Hutch maybe if he made it to the Super Bowl, but I don't think anybody's holding out real hope for that. So those are really the guys they have a chance to get back in this game. Montgomery would obviously be, a big get for them because, as you said, that they work well together. And then Zeitler's such a big part of that offensive line, which this team is built around. If he's good to go off that hamstring, that would be significant as well.
By the way, I lowballed them. There were 28 combined rushing touchdowns, not 19. I was way off.
You had four in the last game for Gibbs.
I was way off on that
number. An all-time team record, so... look, those guys have been terrific together. And that's, that again, that was by design. That's something that this team went into trying to do being able to run the ball. They put a lot of assets into that offensive line to both run and protect Jared. So they've been thrilled with what these backs have brought, and that's, you know, that's a big part of who they are.
Joined by Dan Miller, play-by-play voice of the Detroit Lions. You touched on Hutch there. He was on his way to a Pro Bowl-type season. He was on track for like 20-plus sacks. He had 7.5 through the first five games. He suffered that injury. Are they expecting him to be 100% for training camp next year? How's his recovery going?
Yeah, I think by next year he should be fine. There's been talk of maybe, as I said, if they got to the Super Bowl, he might be able to play. Man, that would seem like a tall order. That was a horrible injury that he suffered. And look, that was, man, what was that, week five, week six, something like that in Dallas. And when that happened, it was like, wow, how are they going to survive this? And then they had so many injuries after that that just kept piling up. But, you know, to your point, he was really headed towards a big season and just a game record that was developing for them. And he's one of those guys that's just relentless, and all he wants to do is get better, and all he wants to do is be the best football player he can be. And that was a tough loss. I mean, that's one of your core guys, game changers, and, you know, all teams are looking for him. You don't find many of them. He was one of them. But at worst case, he will be ready to go next year, I think, full go. I think based on what we've been told, he'll be ready to go in the offseason program, which is even better, and give him time to ramp up and be ready to roll once training camp starts.
Dan, have a great call as always, and we'll talk to you again soon. It's good reconnecting, man. Good
Thanks,
to hear
Dan.
Your voice.
Appreciate it, buddy.
I appreciate it. Glad you guys are enjoying this. It's been fun to watch, and we'll look forward to Saturday night. It's going to be fun. That's what this time of year is all about. So no I appreciate you having me. Good luck, fellas.
Of course. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, man. That's Dan Miller, play-by-play voice on the radio for the Detroit Lions as they are hosting the Commanders this weekend in the divisional round of the playoffs. We'll be right back. Scheduled to join us at 9 a.m. It's Brian Robinson from the Washington Commanders. Got to put the schedule out there.
Yeah, don't hold your breath.
You just got to put it out there. That's all.
I just saw a list. I can't believe. I went to a Bruno Mars concert at MGM National Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was quite impressed with Bruno Mars. He also did the Super Bowl.
Of course.
He's uber talented.
I don't care if you like his music. Great entertainer. Right. And just has hit after hit after hit. At
but
least pop
Uptown
culture
Funk, to me, the headline of this story,
yeah.
To me, I'm not a fan of that particular song. It's fine.
Whatever.
It's catchy.
Here's the headline.
It's a catchy
tune.
It's
like the Jell-O Ball song. It's catchy.
No. Bruno- Uptown Funk is so much catchier than whatever that Jell-O Ball nonsense is. Right.
Bruno Mars' Uptown Funk was just named the number two song of the century.
Hmm.
Can you play it?
What was the number one?
Hold on, of the century. So that we're talking about 2000 to
the last
2100.
Years.
Right?
I guess so.
That's
it says,
the century we're in.
It says Billboard just announced Uptown Funk has claimed the second spot on the list of top hot 100 songs
one?
Of the 21st century.
Hold on, we got to guess that.
Yeah.
But first of all,
that was the point.
I don't care. Listen, this song almost makes me want to puke at this point because I've heard it so many times.
Yeah.
But you can't deny how catchy it is. It's impossible.
It is catchy. It does like have a high catchiness quotient.
It'll never make my Spotify list. I'll never play this.
It's too embarrassing.
If it's on my list, I would skip it. But every time. I would do this. Tap, tap.
I don't know. If I was driving around in the summer, I might roll the windows down.
I wouldn't because of the allergies.
You hear it every wedding, every party, every get-together.
I mean, how much money has Bruno Mars made just off this song?
Old people love it. Young people love it.
I mean, you know,
this is probably a $100 million song for Bruno Mars.
Who is it? Who is it that swears? I talked about it before. That his whole deal with MGM is because he's like $60 million in debt.
Those rumors are floating around.
Well, I think I know someone. Well, I think it's that Mickey Mace guy. Who swears he was there and saw him lose like $60 million, and that it's not a joke.
And that's why he's doing like, hey, come see the what's it called? The residency.
He's a residency.
He's
like
got a
forever.
He's got a free residency.
Hey, maybe he hasn't made forever. As much money as you think off that song,
right?
Because I just clicked on a story and it says, "Success has many fathers. Uptown Funk has 11. The track initially was credited as 6 songwriters, but added 5 writers of the Gap Band's 1979 hits.
Oh, they had
Oops,
to pay
Upside
guys.
Your Head.
They're chopping the pie.
Oh, too many steal from Oops, Upside Your Head. Remember that song?
Yeah, there was a. I think there was a lawsuit about that.
I used to think people were like selling out when you would hear music in commercials, but now I'm like, just sell your music. Everybody's doing it. The one that really hit me though, Valdez, can you cue up Home Sweet Home by Motley Crue? Because that was a huge song for, that's probably their biggest charting song ever mm-hmm. in their careers. And now I think it's featured like in an Audi commercial.
I know we're in tangents.
And I see it and I'm just like,
it makes you want to cringe.
It hits me a little bit.
You would sell out. You'd get it.
Of course I would.
Yeah, you would sell out.
But like, I don't hear this song and think of like buying an Audi.
I know what you think. You think of the girl that flashes.
I think of the girl in the video who's on somebody's shoulders.
Showing
who
her
pulls
teeth.
Her top up, and then they show the close-up of Tommy Lee going, woo, and he's twirling his drumstick. That's what I think of.
His real drumstick or...
He's twirling the real drumstick.
No, oh, yeah.
The wooden drumstick.
Right.
Not the one that's attached to his body.
Right.
Because that's way bigger than a drumstick.
What list is this?
It's like 4 of them wrapped around a rubber band.
Is this a Billboard list? Or
Billboard.
All right, so hold on.
Hot 100.
Is it like a Katy Perry song?
No.
It's got to be Taylor Swift.
It's a song which is featured on this show, I believe, weekly.
Weekly. Oh.
So from one of our guests.
Taylor Swift. No, we don't.
No, it's one of our guests.
One of our segments.
Oh, The Weeknd.
The Weeknd.
I was going to say The Weeknd, I swear to God.
What is that? Blinding Lights?
Blinding Lights.
Yeah.
That was
number
my first
one,
guess.
Hot 100 you know songs of the 21st century.
Bad century for music. We're in a bad century for music currently.
Hold on, is this where
everybody...
the one where the video where he walks around with the mirrors and stuff?
Yes,
is that the one?
Correct.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's in the music video, but that was in the...
These are all pop songs, and they're fairly recent, because number 3 is Stay, which is Justin Bieber, and is it the kid Leroy?
I don't know. This song, all it reminds me of is Pickin' Losers. Pickin' Loser Parlays.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because we play this every week when we do the parlay, Rick. It's not ringing
the
bell.
And we've hit 2 out of 20.
I mean, I've heard the song 9 million times.
You didn't realize that Valdez plays it every time we do our picks?
Correct.
Wow.
it's just making sense to you
now?
Not
doing a bit.
I mean, if you say that, I guess, but I don't really pay that much attention to... I pay attention to the intros and outros and like a Feinstein, Billy Joel song.
Right. Okay.
I like this song better than
a lot of Valdez's shtick behind the scenes. I don't get.
I like Valdez's shtick.
I'm not saying it's bad.
I'm just saying it's the weekend. Yeah. It's the weekend parlay,
aka Abel Tesfaye. Remember that bit when he said he was going to go by his real name instead of the weekend? That was dumb.
Yeah, I don't think it's taken off.
Yes, follow
through. Play the Biebs, because personally, I think the Biebs, any Biebs song greater than that song.
Stay.
Any Biebs song.
Any Biebs song.
I think I'd have to disagree.
These are all pop songs.
Biebs does have some bops in the catalog.
And if you go through the top 10 here.
I like that song better than Uptown Funk.
No, I think Uptown Funk's catchier.
It's got Black Eyed Peas, Ed Sheeran, Shape You.
This song is
Last
silly.
Night by Morgan Wallen.
I don't care what anybody says. Now, I have Bieber on my Spotify.
You're not embarrassed to have the Biebs on your Spotify?
Nope. And I sing this when I'm driving to New York. Yes.
Yeah.
Loudly.
I like this song. Sing that Biebs when you're driving to New York to hang out with the boys.
But that right there is not
nothing
Bieber,
says
right?
Guy time. So, no. Listen
That's
to Bieber.
Probably the kid Leroy.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Leroy.
Hey,
Bieber's on the list twice.
You know what EB loves? Auto-tune. Yeah. The auto-tune.
I don't think that Biebs is an auto-tune guy.
You don't think there's some auto-tune on? Or,
I don't think Biebs is.
I'm sure
maybe
there's
those
songs.
Other guys are. I don't think Biebs is.
That sounds
Am
like
Am I hearing this correctly?
What
are
you
not listening?
That's the kid
what?
Leroy.
Yeah, I don't think it's Biebs. Biebs can sing. Biebs has pipes.
Yeah. What everybody can sing.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing everybody puts a little sweetener on
it. What else is on the list, JP? I'm curious.
Oh, yeah. One that you might like, Last Night by Morgan Wallen.
Well, that's a silly.
Levitating by Dua Lipa.
Morgan Wallen probably has 50 hits.
How's Taylor Tate not on the list?
She's not in the top 10.
She's freaking annoying.
She's the biggest star ever.
And Morgan Wallen's not annoying, throwing chairs off the top of his restaurant.
You can make that argument.
I don't even think I see Taylor Swift in the top 20.
This is a bop.
Who's this?
Dua Lipa.
Yeah, this is a smash.
I hear a lot of these songs now because I drive second and third graders 3 days a week in carpool.
All right, what was the next one?
I would be embarrassed to have this on my playlist, but it's a smash. Yeah, this is a smash.
Despacito made the list. That's also with Justin Bieber. Rolling in the Deep with Adele.
I like that one. I'm a Rolling in the Deep guy.
Mm. You're an Adele guy?
I don't know who Glass Animals are. Heat Waves?
Kind of an Adele guy.
You've heard that song a billion times.
Heat Waves?
Yes.
Okay. I just don't know the name. So, anyway, I thought it was interesting because I would never think that Bruno Mars' Uptown Funk is the top song of the century.
Do you know where that's the top song? Ocean Pines Yacht Club with a bunch of 75-year-old retirees dancing to it.
It goes over big.
I would be more interested in probably, well, I guess Billboard, you know, they're not doing this based on opinion. They're doing this based on some sort of sales calculation, right? Including Spotify and everything else.
Yeah.
Right? So it's changed. Yeah, I mean, it changed.
Look, it said, the number one song for 86 weeks was in the charts top 40. So growing up, we listened to Casey Kasem, and like if a song was there forever. These are ones that get the Spotify hits,
right?
Millions and millions and millions of times.
No, some of them billions. Some of them are into the billions. Who is this?
Sometimes I think about you.
Who this?
Who is it though? I know this song.
And Dua Lipa.
Of course, I've heard it a million times. Dua
Lipa.
Yeah. Who is it?
Glass Animals.
Yeah.
Okay, I've heard this a million times.
No, I know the song, but I didn't know who sang it.
Glass Animals are making bank, apparently. You were going back to the commercials. Did you see Roberge?
Yes.
His song is going to be featured in a Masters commercial.
Oh, very good.
I think it's the Home song. Whatever.
Home.
Yeah. It's silly. What a coup by those guys. I have no idea, but my guess is, and I think what often happens with those guys is they were so popular in the college scene. Coming up, that those guys, a lot of those guys are now like producers,
right?
And they put the guys on.
Sure,
you know, it's amazing.
It's your music, EB.
I do want this played.
This should be number one. Every century.
I do want this played at my funeral. I want it at my funeral and at my wake. Yeah. Close casket.
Double dipping.
I know. Well, I'm actually, when you die, I'm going to come to your wake in a green jacket.
Perfect.
That's a
well,
perfect
you're
going to
be
homage.
Buried in a green jacket.
I don't have a green jacket, but you could get me one.
Someone will get you one.
But I want to hear this music at my wake. When I'm above and I'm looking at all you donks and taking attendance.
Better hope you're above.
Yeah. And see who's showing up.
Better hope it's not just blackness. We don't know. I got a lot of questions. Scheduled to join us. Brian Robinson from the Washington Commanders. They got a big one this weekend as they travel to Detroit to take on the Lions in the divisional round of the NFC playoffs.